Well, let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. If you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom, and it's an honor and a privilege to have you here among us. In fact, I know that some of you are visiting just because I've met some of you out in the lobbies these past weekends, so it's great to have you here with us. This Christmas, we are jumping into a series. We're on week two of a series called the Serenity Prayer Christmas. You maybe have heard of this famous prayer. I'm going to hopefully have it pop up here on the screens, and if it does, I want us to read it and kind of say it, read it, pray it together. It says this, reading aloud, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, the practice of serenity began with accepting things that we cannot change. Now, I don't know if any of you are Seinfeld fans, and I know I might be dating myself just a little bit, but there's an old Seinfeld episode, and in it, George Costanza's dad, named Frank Costanza, learns the phrase, serenity now, but instead of saying it calmly, he yells it every time he's stressed out, right? Particularly when he's arguing with his wife, he'll scream, serenity now, serenity now. And this is not the type of serenity that we're talking about, right? This is not what we're talking about when we talk about serenity. We're not saying go sit in traffic and scream serenity now as you sit on the 210 or as you look at your age ever increasing, that you scream serenity now, or as you look at other people, you scream serenity now. Serenity, the type of serenity that God wants to give us, doesn't come from gritting our teeth or screaming it in frustration, but trusting that God is in control even when it feels like everything is spiraling out of our control. Here's a little secret for all of us. I'm continually learning this lesson, which is this. Just because it's outside of my control doesn't mean it's outside of God's control, right? It can be completely outside of my control and completely within the parameters of God's control. So there's a lot that we cannot change, and we need the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. And yet, this prayer is not just one of acceptance, it's also one of courage to change the things we can. This week, I want to ask you, where do you need the courage to change something that God is calling you to change? Not just courage for courage's sake, but courage for obedience's sake. Listening to the voice of God coming to meet you this Christmas and to do what he's asking you to do. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are raising up people of every generation who want to know you and want to hear your voice. So grateful, God, that you tell us that if we seek you with all of our heart, we will find you. So as we come now, Lord, to your word, would you speak to us? Would you speak your word of courage to us this Advent season? Would it not just be the message of the angel to Joseph, but would it be the message of your word to us even here and now? Lord, give us the courage to change the things that we can, that you're asking us to change. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to this little center section and you'll see the passages of scripture there. If you're catching this online, you can also click and you'll see the notes there as well that you can follow along throughout our time together this weekend. Now, in the Christmas story, we are in the season that is called Advent. Advent, that word just means coming or arrival. And so we're kind of awaiting or looking forward to the arrival of Jesus. That's what it means. It's the four Sundays previous to Christmas. And we're kind of in these in-between times where we look back to Jesus's first coming. We look forward to Jesus's second coming. But with the first coming of Jesus in the Christmas story, the most frequent command given to people is to have courage, to don't fear. An angel visits Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who is startled by this visitation, and he's gripped with fear. And the angel says to him, don't be afraid. Same thing with Mary. An angel shows up. Don't be afraid. Same thing with the shepherds too. Don't be afraid. This Christmas, God's message to us once again, now to you and to me, God comes through his word to say, do not be afraid. Let me ask you, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of these days? We have such a non-biblical understanding of angels. We think of them as cute and fluffy. They're more associated with toilet paper marketing than with supernatural powers of beings with immense power. And when God calls a person, when God comes to a person, there is only two responses. You will either say yes or you will say no. And if you say no, it's usually rooted in fear. And if you say yes, it's usually a sign of courage. We see this battle of fear and courage in the life of Joseph, Mary's husband. We pick up the story in Matthew 1, verse 19 and on. It says this: Joseph, Mary's fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, why would he do that? Well, he'd found out that she was with child, and he knew it wasn't his child, so he's considering what to do. In verse 20, it goes on and says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, marriage for anyone is a sobering commitment. Every guy who decides that they're going to maybe pop the question here is faced with two very sobering options before him. One is that she might say no and he'll feel completely rejected, and the other is that she might say yes and he'll feel completely terrified, right? Both of those two options are scary possibilities. Like, what if she says yes and this whole marriage stuff isn't what I think it would be? But for Joseph, to marry Mary is a whole nother level. He's Roman, and he knows that Mary's pregnancy is not by him. And if he goes along with this, if he abides with this, he's going to lose his Roman reputation. He's going to lose, in a sense, his cultural standing. He's going to lose, in a sense, his cultural identity. And if he loses his identity, then what will his identity even be? And the angel reminds him of his true identity. He calls him Joseph, son of David. Now, Joseph was associated, that name is associated with one of history's greats. Sold into slavery by his brothers, the Joseph of the book of Genesis, was thrown into prison, but over and over again, this original Joseph keeps saying yes to God as an act of courage. And notice here, when the angel greets Joseph, he says that you're Joseph, son of David. He doesn't say that you're Joseph, son of Rome. David was a shepherd boy. He was young. He was young, but he was mighty. I mean, he would fight lions and bears to protect vulnerable sheep. He took on a giant named Goliath when others who were older than him were afraid to step forward. They didn't have the courage to believe that God would do something in their life. And he stepped forward and he said yes when his elders and those who maybe physically were stronger were afraid and said no. And David ends up becoming a great king. Whenever the angel comes to greet Joseph, he says, you are Joseph, son of David. Let me ask you this Christmas, where do you need to be reminded of your true identity? You are not John, son of Instagram. You are not Mary, daughter of politics. You are not Enrique, son of the S&P 500. You are not Alessandra, the daughter of cancer. You are not Robert, son of addiction. What is your true identity? God's word to us this Christmas is for you and I to hear his word, his invitation, his identity that he wants to mark us with, that you are to live fearlessly as a son or daughter of the Most High God. Don't settle for anything else. Joseph, son of David, marry this woman, raise this child. Don't bow to fear. Step up, not back. And Joseph, it's interesting, we're told in the story that he's anxiously considering rejecting this marriage. And the timing here is important. Because what we're told is that after he considered this, notice it doesn't say here, before he ever thought of this. It says after he considered this. Why after? Why didn't the angel spare him all the anxiety, all the sweat, all the sleepless nights, all the fear, all the risk, all the uncertainty, all the mental kind of debating back and forth? I think part of it is because God knew, the angel knew, that Joseph is going to have to learn how to face fear the rest of his life, to do what God is asking him to do. We can all kind of slide into this mistake where we think that fear is the absence, or courage is the absence of fear. That courageous people are just kind of different than the rest of us, and they just don't feel afraid ever. But that's not true. In fact, logically, the opposite would have to be true. The only person that really can be courageous is someone who's feeling anxious and fearful. Because if you're not feeling anxious and fearful, then it's not really courage that you're invoking when you step forward and do something. Many years ago, I was a youth pastor, and I took a group of students caving. And we went into a cave called Bear Cave, and this was one that had what they called worm tubes. Now, these worm tubes were about like maybe that wide or so. That wide. They were about that wide and about that deep, and you could slide through them. Now, I'd been there before, and I knew that you could slide through these, and if you got through them, it opened up to this like really beautiful room. The trick, though, in this particular worm tube is there was an underground creek, and it was raining outside, and when that would happen, if you were there at the wrong time, the worm tubes would fill completely with water. And so you needed to be paying attention to the water levels with the underground creek, because you didn't want to be about 50 yards into a 100-yard stomach crawl where you're feeling the roof on your back and the stomach on your, the floor on your stomach and the sides here, and then feel the water rising. You didn't want that to happen, right? Well, we had one student who was afraid of small spaces, and I had several leaders with us. They were all trained in caving. And I said to the kid, I said, look, you can stay here. You don't have to go through the worm tubes. And he said, no, I want to go and see it. Is there another way to get there? There's no other way to get there. The only way is to slide on your stomach for about 100 yards. Well, he chose to do it. And he was completely terrified all the way. But he did it. And he got through. And he got to see this wonderful cavern that he wouldn't have seen otherwise. Now, he was courageous that day. I wasn't courageous that day because I'm not bothered by small spaces, but I am terrified of heights. And so the day that I went skydiving, that was the day that I had to be courageous. All the other guys I were going with, they all thought it was great to jump out of a plane with, you know, a bed sheet tied to their back. I just thought that wasn't the smartest thing, you know, but I did it, right? And so I had to have courage that day. As long as you live, you will face risks so that you can trust God and grow. Again, it's not courage just so you can slap a bumper sticker on your car and say no fear. It's courage so that you can obey God and do what God is asking you to do. The only way to experience more trust is to be exposed to more uncertainty in life. As I've gotten older over the years, it seems like each stage of life has fresh uncertainties. When I was a teenager, I used to think, well, you know, if I can just get through college and get a job, then life will be set. Then I used to think, well, if I could just, you know, find a woman that would be willing to marry me, then I'd be set. If I could just have kids, then I would be set. If I could just get a house, get a car, if I could pay off my debts, if I could, then I would be set. You know, it's interesting to watch. It feels like each life stage meets you with fresh uncertainties, inviting you into a different type of courage and trust. Fresh opportunities to say yes to God. Courage is saying yes in the presence, not the absence of fear. Every step of growth comes with fear. You can't grow by hearing lectures on courage. You can only grow by hearing God's invitation to say yes, trusting God and trusting his word and trusting his actions. So Joseph says yes to God, but that's not the end of the fear. In Matthew 2, verse 13, we pick up the story. It says, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Herod is the most powerful political figure in the world, in that region, and he's out now to kill Mary and Joseph's adopted baby boy. Now, what emotion do you think he would feel? He's feeling fear. And so literally, they migrate, they go off to Egypt, the same to Egypt, remember, that was the Egypt where the original Joseph had to go, his namesake Joseph, until the news comes of Herod's death. And then an angel comes again, this time in a dream. And it goes on and says in verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. Did you see what he felt again and again and again? Fear, and then more fear, and then more fear, and then more fear. And each time he felt fear, God came to meet him through a messenger, an angel, saying, do not be afraid. Joseph lives in constant fear. With each of my children, when they were born, I had to overcome two different feelings. One was awe and wonder. It's just unbelievable to see a live birth. It just was like, this is, how can you not believe in God? And awe and wonder and love. And the other is kind of absolute fear. I remember whenever my firstborn was born, his name's Caleb. It took me an hour outside of Huntington Hospital in Pasadena to get the car seat correctly into our Honda Accord. And the reason why it took an hour is I had never done it before, but it took about 10 or 15 minutes to get it all bolted in. And then it took another 45 minutes of me checking and rechecking and shaking the base and doing everything I could do, because the last thing that I wanted to have happen was to have something happen to my son. And I was going to do everything I could do to protect him. I kept checking and rechecking. And I remember at the time thinking, as I flipped through the instruction manuals, I remember thinking, this brand new car seat and infant base, it comes with a manual, but I'm about to walk in to a hospital and they're going to hand me this little person and I'm going to walk out and there's no owner's manual that I'm going to get. And I'm like, how am I going to know how to raise him? And I thought about how scary it was for him, though he didn't know it, to be entrusted to me. But imagine for a moment that you're Joseph. You are assigned to raise the Savior of the world. You better not mess up any family of origin issues if you're raising the family, the Savior of the world, right? What's interesting in this Christmas story is that Joseph, he never speaks. Lots of people speak in the Christmas story. Mary does, Zechariah does, Herod does, Elizabeth does, the wise men do, shepherds do. But Joseph is silent. Maybe he's a quiet, timid man. But notice his actions, they speak volumes. He just keeps doing what God asks him to do. God grant me the courage. Let me ask you this Advent season, where are you afraid? From the very first angel, God gives Joseph the reason to not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus is with you. God Emmanuel, God who is with us, is with you. You will not be alone. You do not face life on your own. See, this call to not be afraid is not a call to summon up courage by feat of your willpower. In fact, Joseph is terrified. He's the first person to hear these words that now come to meet us this Advent season, this Christmas. Jesus has come to be with you. Do not be afraid. Where is God wanting to give you a fresh gift of courage this Christmas? What is the truth about yourself, the truth maybe about myself, that I'm most afraid to face? Maybe it's a habitual sin in your life. Maybe you need to believe with God's help that things can change. Maybe it's about how you steward your body. Maybe it's about your finances. Maybe your finances are the thing that make you most afraid. Maybe you're afraid of your own anger. You've lost your temper so many times, you just wonder what you're going to do the next time you lose your temper. Maybe it's your words, what you're going to say to someone. Maybe you're most afraid about your future. You're most afraid about your health. You're most afraid about a loved one, a friend, and what they're going through. What is it for you? Maybe you need courage to step up and let God use you in a fresh way to reach a neighbor or to share the good news of Jesus with a coworker or a friend. Maybe it's time for you to decide to be courageous in your generosity, giving out of your resources, trusting that God won't leave you in the lurch. And I'm not just talking about your finances. Maybe God is saying it's time for you to be courageous and step up and serve with your time. Maybe you're asking God to give you courage for your work that he's assigned you to. You know, God is in the courage providing business. We have this deep hunger, all of us, all people, regardless if you're a Christian or not, for unconditional love. And this hunger, it points us directly to God. And the desire is so deep to hear someone, when all of the fears come rushing at us, to hear someone come up alongside us and say, "It's okay, you can do this. Do not be afraid. I'm right here. I'm with you." And sometimes, even in spite of countless failures, just hearing someone say, "I'm with you. I believe in you. I know you failed. I know you're afraid, but I am with you and I am for you and you can do this," that makes all the difference. A few weeks ago, I saw a video. It's become one of my favorite videos of all time. First time I saw it was a couple weeks ago. And in it, a kid, young kid, is trying to jump on a stool. Now, I don't know why the kid's trying to jump on the stool. But he tries and he tries and he tries and he keeps on failing. Somehow, in the video that you're about to see, he gets this extra boost of courage. And I want you to see what gives the kid the extra boost of courage to go along with his perseverance. Would you take a look at the video?
More fighting.
Don't you love it, right? I mean, I don't even speak whatever language they were speaking, but you don't need to know the language to see the impact of that father coming alongside a child and saying, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Let me ask you, where is God coming alongside you? And he's saying, "Do not be afraid, for Jesus is with you." I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what it feels like, but I've been trying and I've been seeking and I've been persevering. But I know that God is in the courage providing business. And I don't know what that dad said to that child to make a difference, but I do know what the Heavenly Father is saying to you and saying to me this Christmas. Do not be afraid. For Jesus has come to be with you. Maybe it's time for you, maybe it's time for me to name our fear, to hear God's message, and take hold of the God-given courage to change the things we can. Not just courage for courage's sake, but courage to step up and take our part in the kingdom of God, doing what only we can do that God has asked us to do, to change the thing that he's assigned us to change, so that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. What is God asking you to do that will require courage? God, you know where each person here needs to have courage. Would you speak to us the knowledge of that now? It could be our finances, our health. It could be a friendship, a relationship. It could be a change that you're asking us to make. It could be perseverance that you're inviting us to, the courage to persevere, to believe that the next jump on the stool might be the one. Bring us to the knowledge that Jesus has come to be with us, and that if he's with us, I can face anything that life throws at me. Give us the courage to face and change what I can, what we can by your help. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that now. Jesus has entered into history, but Jesus wants to enter into your history. You don't have to wait until Christmas. You can say even now, God, I want to begin a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, take me as I am. Be with me. Transform me from the inside out. I turn from my sin, my rebellion, my doubts. I turn from letting fear control my life to your courage. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for giving me a clear picture of what God the Father is like. Thank you for leaving and sending your Holy Spirit to be with me even now. And you can say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to be in my life now through the power of Jesus. If you're saying yes to God for the very first time, I welcome you to the family of God. Maybe others of you, even as I walk us through that, you're just remembering the first time you said yes to Jesus. And let me just tell you, once again, he says, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. I've come to give you the courage you need to do everything that my Father asks. In fact, Jesus himself was asked and freely chose to say yes to the Father, to go to the cross. On the night that he was betrayed, he gathered his followers and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. And what are we remembering? Well, lots of things, but part of what we're remembering in the life of Jesus is that in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, Father, but your will be done. He prayed it three times, and he ultimately did have his prayer answered because his prayer was, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so he chose to go to the cross. Why did he go to the cross? So that you and I could be made right with God. And not only made right with God, but so that then, being made right with God, we would desire to be made right with one another, to love one another as God loves us. Likewise, after the supper, he took a cup of wine and said, this cup is a sign of the new covenant based on the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. When we come to this table, it's a reminder, it's good news. It is good news, church. This is the sign and the symbol that salvation comes from outside of ourselves. You don't look inside yourself to save yourself. You look outside yourself to the one who has come, who has come to be God with us, who has come to be God Emmanuel. Ushers, you can go ahead and come. As they come, if you're a follower of Jesus, whether you just made that decision, whether you've made it some time ago, you're welcome at this table. Would you take a little bit of the bread there, and you can eat it, remembering what Christ has done. Drink from the cup, put the empty right back in the slot. If you're not a follower of Jesus, just go ahead and let the cup pass by. And may you now meet with God, the God who's come to be with us, and have communion with Him in a special way.